Good morning. So today we're going to be talking about re-gifting. And re-gifting was a term coined by Seinfeld, believe it or not. And it was it is the practice of giving someone a gift that you have received from someone else. So it's taking a gift that you've been given and then turning around and giving it to someone else. Now, how many of you have ever re-gifted anything? Okay. Some of you are like, meh, maybe. Okay. Over 50% of adults on this informal survey that they did said that they have and think that it's okay. All right. So there's this website, though, and it has, it's regift.com or something like that. And it has rules for regifting, and it is very interesting. One of the rules was if you give a bottle of wine, make sure that it's unopened. Only give new items. Only regift new items. If you have to dust it off, then it's not a regiftable item. Don't give partially used gift cards. Don't give the gift back to the person that gave you the gift. So make sure you know who it came from. And then the last one is don't reuse the wrapping paper. Now, this is just, God works in funny ways, but I got a package yesterday from my grandmother, who I love, but it was addressed, the presents inside were addressed to her from someone else. And so my grandma has re-gifted to me, and it was just weird, bizarre stuff. It was like little packages of Kleenex, some Goldfish crackers, and she wrapped, the person that gave her these gifts wrapped the Tic Tac boxes individually in Christmas wrapping paper. So I just thought that was funny that I was regifted the day before we preached about regifting. So now on the website, if you go to the website, there's lots of different stories on there. One of the stories was that her father-in-law had given her husband a pack of underwear. It was a 4-pack, but there were only 3 in the package, in the open pack. So, but anyways, the title of this series is Regifting. And as we jest about the do's and don'ts of regifting, and we kind of joke, yeah, we've done that or we haven't done, what I really want to talk about is regifting what the Lord's already given us. Because God has given us many, many things. And unlike some people who in the world that give us things, God wants us to re-gift our gifts. He wants us to share our gifts with others. And so we're going to talk about 3 things that God has given us, and that is time, talent, and treasure. Time, talent, and treasure, all 3 of which God wants to re-gift, you to re-gift to other people, to share with other things, with other people. Now, if you pull out your outline, you can follow along. And the first one is our time, talent, and treasure are all things that we should re-gift. Our time, talent, and treasure are all things that we should re-gift. And we're going to read from Psalm 24. The earth is the Lord's and everything in it. The world and all its people belong to Him. For He laid the earth's foundations on the seas and built it from the ocean's depths. Everything in the world has come from God. That includes our time, that includes our talent, that includes our treasure. Everything belongs to the Lord. And the Lord has given us these things so that we can use them for the benefit of other people. So number 2 is that we are stewards of what God has entrusted us. We are stewards of what God has entrusted us. So we are to be taking care of what God has given us. A steward is someone who is responsible for what they do not own, something that they have been entrusted with. It's kind of a function of delegated responsibility, if you want a fancy definition of it. It's the function of delegated responsibility. It's like a curator of a museum, a guardian, a manager. And that's how God refers to giving us our time, our talent, and our treasure. He talks to us about as stewards. Now listen to what Jesus says in Luke chapter 12 about being good stewards. And the Lord replied, a faithful, sensible servant is one to whom the master can give the responsibility of managing his other household servants and feeding them. If the master returns and finds that the servant has done a good job, there will be a reward. I tell you the truth, the master will put that servant in charge of all he owns. So that's good, right? That sounds good. The servant does well, is the servant is rewarded well. Just as if we do well with what we've been entrusted with, we will be rewarded. But Jesus continues. But what if the servant thinks, my master won't be back for a while? And he begins beating the other servants, partying, and getting drunk. The master will return unannounced and unexpected, and he will cut the servant in pieces and banish him with the unfaithful. This is severe retribution for not being a good steward. Not being a good steward and taking care of what God has entrusted you with is serious business, according to Jesus. He continues, and a servant who knows what the master wants, but isn't prepared and doesn't carry out those instructions, will be severely punished. But someone who does not know and then does something wrong will be punished only lightly. When someone has been given much, much will be required in return. And when someone has been entrusted with much, even more will be required. Does that sound familiar to anyone?
Right. Remember, with great power comes great responsibility.
With great power comes great responsibility. It's from Spider-Man. Uncle Ben tells Spider-Man, or Peter Parker, with great power comes great responsibility. I wanted to show you that Steve is not the only one that can throw a comic book reference in to a sermon. Okay? But that's what God is saying. He has entrusted us with much, and because he has entrusted us with much, much is also going to be required. And if we don't live up to the expectations that God has had for us, our punishment will be severe. Now, when we are done with this life and we stand before God, what do we want God to say to us? Do we want God to say, gosh, look at all these things I've given you, all the time, all the talent, all the treasure. What did you do with it? Or do we want God to look at us and say, look at the things I gave you, the time, the talent, and the treasure, and look at how you used it to multiply my kingdom. And he will say, well done, good and faithful servant. That's what we want to hear. Well done, good and faithful servant. And so we want to look at what does it mean to be a good steward of our time and our talent and our treasure. And so over the next 3 weeks, we're going to be looking at those. And today, we're going to be looking at time. And so we're going to talk about regifting time. Now, time is the great equalizer. No one has more time than anyone else. No matter how rich you are, no matter how poor you are, you all are given 60 minutes in an hour and 24 hours in a day. You can't buy more. You can't save it. You can't spend it differently. Even if you don't want to spend it, it goes away. Okay? God has predetermined the length of our lives is number two. It says in Job, you have decided, God, the length of our lives. You know how many months we will live. And we are not given a minute longer. Our time on earth is very, very brief in regards to eternity. When looking at eternity, the 60, 70, 80 years that we have on earth is just a drop in the hat. Teach us, God, to realize the brevity of life so that we may grow in wisdom. Is what Psalm 90 says. This quote is from R. Allen McKenzie, who wrote The Time Trap. And it says, most of us sense something else about time. It is a resource. Moreover, it is a unique resource. It cannot be accumulated like money or stockpiled like raw materials. We are forced to spend it whether we choose to or not, and at a fixed rate of 60 seconds every minute. It cannot be turned off and on like a machine or replaced like a man. It is irretrievable. To kind of get us thinking about this time, I want to show you a video, and it's going to be Our Life in Jelly Beans.
These are roughly 28,835 jelly beans. I counted out 500 of them and used those to weigh the rest. In this pile, there's one jelly bean for each day that the average American will live. You might have more beans in your life, or maybe less, but on average, this is the time we have. Here's a single bean. It's your very first day. A special day, but kind of a rough day on everyone involved. Add 364 more and you have the first year of your life. Now, for a sense of scale, here are your first 15 years. 5,475 days. Which brings us to the threshold of adulthood. And at that moment, this is the time that we have left. And this is, on average, what we will do with all that time. We will be asleep for a total of 8,477 days. If we're lucky, some of that time we'll be sleeping next to someone we love. We will be in the process of eating, drinking, or preparing food for 1,635 days. We'll be at work, hopefully doing something satisfying, for the equivalent of 3,202 of those days. 1,099 days will be spent commuting or traveling from one place to another. Maybe a little bit more if you live in LA. On average, we will watch television in one form or another for a total of 2,676 days. Household activities, like chores and tending to our pets and shopping, will take another 1,576 days. And we will care for the needs and well-being of others, our friends and family, for 564 days. We'll spend 671 days bathing, grooming, and doing all other bathroom-related activities, and another 720 days will go to community activities, like religious and civic duties, charities, and taking classes. After we remove all those beans, this is what remains. This is the time that we have left. Time for laughing, swimming, making art, going on hikes, text messages, reading, checking Facebook, playing softball, maybe even teaching yourself how to play the guitar. So what are you going to do with this time? How much of it do you think you've already used up? If you only had half of it, what would you do differently? What about half of that? How much time have you already spent worrying instead of doing something that you love? What if you just had one more day? What are you going to do today?
How will we spend our time? How will we spend our jelly beans? If we had only one day left, if you knew that today was your last day, how would you spend it? What would you do? How are we to spend our time? The first way that we're supposed to spend our time is spend things that are most important, and that are things of God. We're supposed to be spending our time on things of God. Ephesians says this, "So be careful how you live. Don't live like fools, but like those who are wise. Make the most of every opportunity in these evil days. Don't act thoughtlessly, but understand what the Lord wants you to do. Don't be drunk with wine, because that will ruin your life. Instead, be filled with the Holy Spirit, singing psalms and hymns and spiritual songs among yourselves, and making music to the Lord in your hearts, and give thanks for everything to God the Father in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ." We are to be spending our time on the things of God, on things that bring God glory. The next thing that we're supposed to spend our time on are developing relationships for the sake of evangelism. Colossians says, "Live wisely among those who are not believers, and make the most of every opportunity. Let your conversation be gracious and attractive, so that you will have the right response for everyone." Now, this doesn't mean that we should make fake friendships and be fake with people just to try to get them to become a follower of Christ. Okay, and evangelism is just a fancy term of saying, sharing the gospel, telling someone, hey, this Jesus, he's real. And this is how you become a follower of Jesus. Okay, that's what evangelism is. And that's what this becoming a contagious Christian study is going to be all about, is how to share your faith, how to tell people about Jesus in a way that's natural for you. And so you need to spend time sharing your faith with people and developing relationships with people that are real and that are genuine. Now, I know of a guy that he was really big into evangelism. And so he started playing racquetball with a guy who was not a follower of Christ. And so he would, during the racquetball games and before and after, he would just preach the gospel to him over and over and over. And the guy did become a Christian. Okay? So after he became a Christian, though, the guy said, okay, I can't play racquetball with you anymore, because I need to find another person who's not a Christian to talk to and teach about God. And to me, that's kind of not genuine, really. That's kind of like, okay, check, you're a Christian, now I'm going to move on to someone else. And I don't think God's calling us to make fake relationships. In fact, I know He's not calling us to be fake with one another. He wants us to be real. And so being real with people, letting our conversation be gracious and attractive, is about building relationships with people. Because people need to know you, and you need to know them. And yeah, you want everyone in your life to become a follower of Christ, right? I mean, that would be the best. That's what we want. The relationships that we have, we want those people to know Christ. And they will know Christ by the way that we share it with them. But we don't go and make these fake relationships just trying to check people off the list. Well, I got somebody saved today. Because what is their response going to be if that's how you treat them? Well, is that how all Christians act? Just using me for this? Say a sinner's prayer and check, I'm done? No. We want those real relationships. The third way we need to spend our time is spend time with our families. Spend time with our families. This is the greatest. In Deuteronomy 24, under the Old Covenant, this says, a newly married man must not be drafted into the army or be given any other official responsibilities. He must be free to spend 1 year at home bringing happiness to the wife he has married. Just think about how great your marriage would be if the whole first year the husband's only job was to make his wife happy. Now some of you may be saying, to make me happy, you may need to join the military. But think about that. We need to be spending time with the people that we love and the people that God has entrusted us with. What is your prayer for your family? What is your hope for your family? What do you want to have happen in your family? Chances are, those things are not going to happen if you're not there with the people in your family. They don't happen by proxy. You can't parent through someone else. You have to be there. You have to be there for your spouse. You have to be there for your kids. You have to be there for your family and for your friends. This is a Family Circus comic that Lori put up for me. It says, parents can give children things or time. Time is better. Time is better. The fourth way we need to spend our time is we need to have time for rest. And not just sleep, but time to decompress. It says, the apostles in Mark returned to Jesus from their ministry tour and told them all they had done and taught. Then Jesus said, let's go off by ourselves to a quiet place and rest a while. He said this because there were so many people coming and going that Jesus and his apostles didn't even have time to eat. Even Jesus needed time for rest. Even Jesus needed time to decompress. And that's where that Sabbath idea comes from, that day of rest. So we need to spend time doing these things, these important things that God has called us to. But now, so what? That's great, right? We're supposed to use our time? That's fantastic. You all agree that we should use our time for God? Yes, can I get an amen? All right. But how are we going to do it? How are we going to do it? This is where the rubber meets the road. Because it's great to think, yes, this is a great idea. We should redeem the time. We should use the time for the Lord. We should be good stewards. But we've actually got to do something, guys. We've got to make a change in our lives if we're going to do this. Now, Mike and Marlene Pollock set up the nursing home visits for us. And that was a time where we went and spent time with people in nursing homes. And he sent me this from a friend of his on Facebook. And this is, his friend works in a nursing home in Missouri. And she posted this on her Facebook wall on Thanksgiving evening. One of the sweetest ladies I have met at work passed away this evening. She waited all day in the front room for her family to come to see her. And at 6 o'clock, she finally gave up. Upset, she was taken to her room and a warm nightie put on her. She thanked the CNA for helping because us girls were the only ones that cared for her. No more were those words spoken, and she passed. That breaks my heart. Please go spend time with the elders in your family. Don't let them be alone. Make them feel loved and needed. Spending time with people is not so that we get something out of it. We need relationships. We need friendships. We need to be loved, and we need to show love. And so what I want you to do is I want you to resolve to spend time with someone this week, even if there's no, quote, benefit to you. All right? So I want you to think of someone in your life that you feel like you should go spend time with this week, that you can spend time with and be thinking, just to be nice. Just be nice this week. Maybe that's all. You really need to be nice this week, guys. Who are you going to spend time with this week? Who are you going to go and say, I'm going to go spend 30 minutes at a nursing home. I'm going to go see my friend who doesn't get out much. I'm going to go see that person from church that I don't ever get to see. And I'm going to spend some time with them. I want you to write down a name on your outline there. There's a blank, and I want you to pick someone and commit to seeing them this week. Maybe it's a phone call. Maybe it's a lunch. If you haven't seen me lately, you can take me to lunch. Whoever you want. Okay? What I want us to think about is that time is one of these things that we've been given. And God has called us to re-gift our time. And so, this week, re-gift your time by spending time with someone with nothing, no expectations in return. Would you pray with me? God, we just thank you for the gift that you've given us in your Son, Jesus Christ. And we thank you for the ways that you have blessed us. And God, I pray that as we think about this week, that we would really seriously think, who can we bless this week by just being with them? God, I pray that you would just imprint upon each person's heart that's here today the name of someone who they can go see, that they can go spend time with, that they can go and show that they are loved and cared for, not just by the person that's going to be going, God, but by you. You loved us so much that you sent your Son to die on the cross for our sins. And God, I pray that with that joy that we have from knowing that, that we can go and spread that joy and spread that love to those around us. God, it's in Jesus' name that we pray. Amen.
You've been listening to Pastor Kevin Daniels at Hayes Christian Church. Hayes Christian Church is a non-denominational fellowship in Hayes, Kansas. We are supported by the generosity of our members, attenders, and friends. The financial support we raise goes to projects which further spread the gospel to those who do not yet know Jesus, to local, national, and international missions, and they help to keep these podcasts free. If you'd like to share a monetary gift with us, please visit our webpage at hayeschristianchurch.org and click on the donate button. Or you may mail your gift to P.O. Box 1111, Hayes, Kansas 67601. If you have questions, comments, or would like more information, we would love to hear from you. Simply go to our webpage and click on the Contact Us form. Thank you for your generosity, and may God bless you as you seek to follow Him.